Special thanks to everyone that pitched in, that was able to pitch in, and just another phenomenon of God with the bricks falling and people pitching in. So again, that unity. This time we saw community. We saw neighbors and Port Byron Fire Department getting together. They weren't in a hurry to leave, you know, to help us and provide extra light so we can get started with a patch. Our neighbor Ben here that lives in the little blue building, lives in a tent in the blue building, was a tremendous help. God just had his glory on him. So good things are being formalized and relationships being built. So it's a lot more than just bricks falling off a building. God is putting together a church. He's putting together a community. I see it. I really see it. Praise God. All right. Ready for Psalm 23? So we're in the midst, right in the middle of a trilogy of psalms or songs. Psalm 22 through 24 speak of Christ so explicitly, so clearly. Psalm 22, the suffering Savior, Jesus Christ, is Kristen's Savior, is Simeon's Savior. He saved us, and he saved us by dying for us. Very clearly. So an intimate peek into the cross, behind the scenes of what the gospel writers would write. We see what's going on in the spiritual. We see what's going on between Jesus Christ and the Father, the communication happening, the things flashing across his mind of life that he's lived here on this earth, that he's about to give for us. Spiritual realities around him, the bulls of Bashan, some mysterious words in there being used. Beautiful psalm. Then 23, we're in today. Jesus being our shepherd. Now, Jesus being our Lord. That's our leader. Savior is like the lifeguard coming out. No longer is he, you know, blowing whistle, that kind of being a lifeguard. Now, the lifeguard is engaging, going out to rescue you. He's our Lord and Savior. Psalm 24 is Jesus being King. So all of that, though those practical things of his working on us, we got to realize that he's an awesome God. And part of what we sang today is you are a great God. You are really great. You are really awesome. And we can sing that, we can mouth that. And as it's being revealed to you, though, it becomes part of your reality. And you really mean it when you sing it. You're really great, God. Yesterday on the porch, it was about, I don't know, 8 in the morning. It was after the sunrise. We got a second sunrise. Beautiful sunscape out there. It was a very unique cloud. It was like Swiss cheese. It had so many holes in it. And the sun was coming through that particular cloud. And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of sunbeams coming through it. It was a very unique skyscape. We see lots of skyscapes on the hill. This one was unique. There were sunbeams coming down below, to the sides, and up above. Hundreds of them. It was fantastic. And the one word I heard was favor. God's favor for you. Isn't it cool that God has favor for you? You're his favorite, in other words. The apple of his eye, he has favor for you. I was overwhelmed by it. I couldn't count the sunbeams. I couldn't count the blessings. I was like, God, what do I do with this? What do I do? Is there 100? Is there 1,000? I was just blown away by the goodness of God. So the awesomeness of God's grace, that just puts him in that place of majesty, that causes us to be in a place called worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Help me today, Lord Jesus, decrease while you increase and your word increases in our hearts and minds. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23 begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Beautiful, beautiful place to be. Where's the pinnacle of Christianity? Where are we headed to? Where's the summit on the mount? Being satisfied in God. No longer in unrest, and it's like, I've got to have the next thing. I've got to have this, and then I'll be. No, you won't. Stop with that lifestyle. The summit is being content no matter what situation you're in. And Paul says it was a learning process that he went through. That's called sanctification. After you get saved, God starts teaching you. You're being discipled. And one of those things that you're taught by Jesus in your life is to be content in all different kinds of situations. All kind of situation. I mean, all kind of situations to find peace, contentment, and know who you are with Him. Your environment, the people around you, no longer define who you are. They can hurl insults at you. They can persecute you. But great is your reward in heaven. You are still, and you know that He is God. There's something inside of you that cannot be moved. He's put a rock inside of you. He's put a solid place inside of you for you to stand on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to bring us into two different elements of that here in the next two verses. Our food and our drink, the common things that we need, would appear to be the common things we need, but there's something much deeper than that. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Hope I'm not being too loud. I'm trying to compensate for the fan there. I tend to be a little loud. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I don't have any coaches out here anymore. I used to have a lady when at Troopsville Church, she would tap her watch. She wouldn't say too loud or anything. She would just tap her watch. Too long. How does that make you feel when you're out here? All right. Praise God. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. So we're being refreshed, restored, being fed by God. So not only our leader, our shepherd, but He feeds us. He takes care of us as that shepherd. Green pastures speak of food, and still waters speak of drink. Remember David, who would write this song in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is a shepherd by trade, and he would become king later in his life. But from a boy on, this is where his heart is, being a shepherd. Being a shepherd. So very much relatable from his life and experience and to the people around him in agriculture is to speak in that sense. So we need to understand that green pastures and still water mean food and drink. The things you need for your body. The things you need for your body. And Jesus would go on to say and speak to this in a couple of different ways. He would talk about it in the physical sense. He said, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be like the pagans and heathens. And all they're always worried about it. What they're going to wear. What they're going to eat. Always worried about tomorrow. They're always there tomorrow. They're never living in the present. It's always tomorrow. Jesus says, don't be like that. He says, you can't add an inch to your height. You can't. You just be concerned about today. Making the most of today. And He said, consider the sparrow, God feeds them and all of that, so that we would have rest in these necessities of life. But our greater need really isn't that in this culture. There are issues. I'm not going to sweep that under the rug. But our greater need is one of spirit. There is no doubt in my mind that is the deeper need here. And Jesus addresses that as well. In John chapter 6, let's go there. This will be the only place I believe we go to today. So he addresses this restoring of our soul, restoring of our body in two different levels. One is definitely physical and the other is spiritual. And John chapter 6 is definitely the spiritual one. This is your deepest hunger. This is your deepest hunger. We get confused. And sometimes like a baby cries and they don't know even what's bothering them. They don't know that they're hungry. They don't know that it's the wet diaper. They can't say it. They can't formalize it. They just sense different things and they cry. But sometimes we have this deeper need going on and we don't know how to address it. We really don't know what's going on. So we try to stuff ourselves with chocolate cake. We try to do it in the physical. And it's like, yeah, that tasted good. That, you know, my stomach is in pain now and I'm full, but there's something still empty. So there's a spiritual need in all of us. We know that when we go down the streets, when we're at Walmart, that we can confidently share the gospel with people because we know that everyone in this world has a vacuum in them. They have a hunger in them for truth. That's why we launch satellites up into the sky and we probe into the universe. The Hubble telescope is rotating around now. We're hungry for something besides peanut butter and jelly. That we're not looking for brownies out in outer space. We're looking for truth. There's something in us that's seeking and probing. It's not satisfied with the things of earth. We're seeking and probing. There's something in every one of us. And we can be confident when we're talking to people that we can address that need with the gospel, with spiritual food. And Jesus does this in John chapter 6, verse 55. Long chapter there, but we begin in 55. Read some verses there. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Your translation might say, my flesh, Jesus pointing to his body, his physical body. My flesh is food, is true food, your translation might say, is real food. Real food, real drink. Come on, Jesus 2,000 years ago, it's coming out at you right now through the gift of teaching. Nothing about this dude up here. I'm going to pass away. I'm vapor. I'm nothing. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, coming through, although it's still speaking to you. I am real food. I am real drink. He would say this at the end of one of the feasts. He had a sense of humor. Jesus had a sense of humor. Everybody's stuffed to the hilt. That's when your stomach starts to go in revolt against your body, saying, I'm leaving. What are you doing to me? Everybody's full. They had days of feast, not just an hour or two. Days. People were stuffed. They had to wheelbarrow themselves back home, hobble back home. And God delighted in that. He fed them till they were glutted. Remember when he divided the fish and loaf? God loves to do that. Feast, eat, manja. Eat, you know, that's God's into that. His house be filled with food. But this is something so much deeper. That he would give himself true food, true drink, comes from Jesus Christ. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, verse 54, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And my flesh is true, true food. My blood is true drink. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me and I in him. Now the crowd is doing what? This is weird. This is something they never heard anybody talk about before. This is getting weird. People are shrinking back. They're making faces. You're going to eat my body. You're going to drink my blood. We've heard this as Christians before. So it kind of just goes over our head. Like a plane buzzing over. It just kind of goes over. But think about it. This is the first time you're hearing it. You got to eat my body. I'm going to lay my life down for you and you're going to drink my blood. How does that sit with you? I hope it sits real good because God loves you that much that he would send his son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. That wouldn't be the end of the story. You're going to live forever because of this food and this drink that's true. You got to consume him. You got to take him in and make Christ part of your life. My flesh is meat indeed. He that eats my flesh, drinks my blood, dwells in me, and I in him. So it's not something weird. It's about the indwelling of God in you. That's really what he's talking about. Jesus living inside of you. Or I'm all alone tonight. No, you are not. Or I'm all alone walking over here. No, you are not. I feel all alone in this. No, you are not. Christ wants to join us, unite himself to us through the believing and the confession that Jesus, you died for me. This is how we consume the body. We take communion. That's not really consuming the body of Christ. That just is a teaching. That's an element. It's an illustration. It's a visual. You want to really consume Christ. It's believing with all of your heart that he died for you and that he loves you. Take that in. Stop pushing it away. Stop receiving it only 2 inches in. Make that part of who you are. Bring it all the way in. Swallow it. Bring it into your body. Allow it to be part of you. That God loves you. That He's indwelling inside of you. I believe you died for me, Christ. You're bringing it in. You're drinking that love in, man. Drinking in the love of God, just like all those sunbeams going out, man. It's overwhelming. I can't explain it. I'm just receiving it, God. I'm going to receive your love today. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eats me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. So the physical food versus the spiritual. Let's go back to Psalm 23. This real food, this real body was just described in Psalm 22. And we talked about the 5 points of this body of Christ that was given for us. His bones that were dislocated. Number one is mentioned there in Psalm 22. From 10 weeks ago when we covered this, it seems like it was just last week. The 5 points of grace, his body. Bones dislocated. Everybody say, bones dislocated. For me. Number two, a tongue that thirsted. For me. Number three, heart torn. For me. Hands and feet pierced. For me. Clothing ripped and gambled for me. He restores my soul, verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Folks, this isn't just for the dying when we read at a funeral. This is for the living. I hope this is breathing life into you. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need much more than satisfaction and contentment of material things and even spiritual satisfaction. We need purpose. We need purpose. We need to be able to look forward and say, that's where God is leading me. So important. Yes, that our joy is full. And that we receive the blessings from heaven so that we have peace. We're satisfied with God. But now I want to know, where am I heading? God, where is that destination? Where do you want me to go? Purpose. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. From still waters, green pastures, feasting, eating, being satisfied with the body of Christ, being satisfied with the love of God, to now moving. Move. I think there's a couple songs, Christian songs, that are just move. You know, now move. Come on. Move. Move. Go to that person. Love them. Hug them. Tell them. Encourage them. Move. He leads me on paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Important to notice, for his name's sake, he leads me on paths of righteousness. Some people get caught up in different kind of head-scratching things about the perfect will of God for my life, in the permissive will of God for my life. Anybody ever hear that? The perfect will of, am I in the perfect will of God, or am I in the permissive will? Well, can I do this and God still is okay with it? I would encourage you, that's like comparing the perfect food versus pig food. That's the difference there. If you're satisfied with pig food as the prodigal was, yeah, he was in the permissive will of the Father. The Father could have went and sent his servants out there, rescued his son, tied him up and locked him in a rubber room and said, boy, I'm going to teach you the Bible. Until you get it. That would have been the perfect will of the Father. Having his son clothes. But he allowed him. The permissive will. But let me tell you, it's like comparing pig food versus perfect food. For when that boy came home, that man ran out. He ran out, put shoes on his feet and rings on his finger. He didn't kill no skinny chicken from Tops. He killed the fatted calf. This is my boy coming home. That's the perfect food. That's what God wants to feed us. If you're satisfied with pig food, be satisfied with that. God is waiting for you. He wants to feed you something different. His perfect will. He wants to give you purpose. A great plan for your life. You will notice it this way, and perhaps many of us have already experienced this in our life. When you're so focused on this purpose and the path that God has led you on, that you forget to eat. We didn't eat dinner. I'm not even hungry. I'm so contented on what God has called me to do today. I'm not even concerned about that. The disciples asked that of Jesus. Didn't you eat? My meat, my food, my satisfaction is to do, to move in the will of God. It's a wonderful experience. If you haven't had it happen, you will. This good shepherd will lead you on those places where you'll be in that place of complete contentment, knowing that you're in his perfect will, no longer satisfied with pig food. This is not just some abstract teaching, folks. I'm talking about a life being led by Jesus Christ that each one of us has been invited to. Verse 4 is about trials. You know, I wish the Bible would cover that subject. Somehow it's missing. I must have the wrong Bible then if that's the case. It's all over the place. Whole book dedicated to that word, that S word, suffering, Job. But it's all through. It's all through. Speaking on the subject of being in the shadow of death, being in that fearful place of uncertainty. One of the things we pray for is when we hear the ambulance going off, sometimes we don't realize it's because bricks are falling. We got to toot for that. That we pray for that person, knowing that they might be in that place of the shadow, uncertainty. Am I going to be alive a minute from now? And our heart goes out to them. We unite. We become entangled. Yeah, it's quantum spirituality. We become entangled with what's going on. It's not just heady stuff. We actually spiritually get entangled in different situations in our community. God, that person that is hurting right now, is uncertain right now, be there with them, Lord God. Give focus to the person that is working, those, our volunteer firemen and women. Thank you, Jesus. In this place of the shadow, we're given two instruments in the declaration, that faith statement that says, I'm not going to fear in that place of uncertainty. I will not fear. Why? Because he says, do not fear. Every situation. Doesn't matter if it's a storm with 8-foot swells. It doesn't matter. He says, do not fear. Don't fear. Believe. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Two elements of God's presence with us, simply listed there. The assumption is that he's with us there, added by the translations, but two elements just by the shepherd's rod and staff being added to us in that place, the shadow of death. Fearing no evil. Why? Because his rod, that's his weapon. God has weapons in his staff, his stability. God's instruments. We can go up on a teaching on that. We're not today. We're going to do a summer sermon today. Keep it short. But his rod and staff, I would encourage you to do that as homework. Research what that means. Look into what shepherding is all about. Allow that to speak to you. But the weapons of his warfare, he's going to fend off for us. He's going to fight our battles. He's going to be victorious. We are more than conquerors. Will self-pity win the day? Or will we say we are more than conquerors? Your choice. Self-pity? Or will you say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who lives in me? Your choice. Will we see these elements appear? As you make that choice, you will see this. The elements, the rod and the staff of God will become apparent to you. The weapons of his warfare will become evident to you. If you go down the choice of self-pity, no, you will not experience the rod and staff of God. You will not see the comfort of God's stability, faith in him during these times, that you are more than a conqueror. Just six little verses on this summer sermon. You guys doing okay? Yep. It was funny how the bricks were piled up, guess where, right here. Right in front of the door. Big pile of bricks. And it reminded me of a prayer I like to pray. We didn't pray before church today, by the way. But this is the one I normally pray. It was kind of weird today. It was a strange start, but God is good. As long as we decrease and allow him to increase, that's the key. But it reminded me of something, of a prayer I do every Sunday morning, is to remove those obstacles that are people's lives. You know, keeping them from fellowship. Does this brick have my name on it because I burned somebody? You know, there's that Paul guy. You know, there's that brick. You know, they're holding on to, and this has become bitterness to someone. So I pray for that, people to be set free from that. Because I know they're real. I know these are real. And they're blocking our door. These bricks of offense people have taken. It's too hot in the church. The church is too weird. Hypocrites. You guys have heard it. The bricks. Let's pray. Let's pray right now. These bricks be removed.
I should have brought a rubber brick then did that. Wake you guys up.
Who used to have a rubber brick? It was down at the castle or something, I think. There was a rubber brick down there. Maybe. We've been in these places. I certainly have been. But God, you don't understand that person. Do you know this particular... I know what the Bible says, but this situation's different. This person is way over the top. This church is... What's God going to do in answer to that? He's going to answer that with verse 5. Bring your brick to this table. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. So what does God have for you in that situation? Well, I just got to get through it, man. I'm going to get through it. That's what it is. It's a linebacker thing, man. Just give me the ball. I'm going to run through it. No, it's more than just getting through it. It's more than just surviving. It's about a table, a banquet set before you in the presence of your enemies. You see, these bulls of Bashan that were around Jesus, the spitting on him and the hurling of insults on Jesus Christ, surrounded by enemies. He was at a banquet. There was a table before him. The joy was set before him for you and me. The apple of his eye, man. He had you and me in mind on the cross, surrounded by his enemies. There was a table, the anointing of oil over his head of gladness. His cup was running over of grace. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That doesn't come from doctrine. That doesn't come from mental intellectualism. It comes from a heart that loves you, that's beating all the time. I love you.
Last verse. This is the best. This brings us full circle to verse 1.
of being satisfied. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Connect it right full circle. We've come right around the circle, right back to that place of the Lord being our shepherd, not wanting. And this concludes, and surely, surely, for sure, man, it is done. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy behind me. Eternity before me. You guys have it made. You've got it made in the shade of God, under the shadow of His wings. You've got it made. Mercy and grace are following you. Eternity is in front of you. Let's read that verse together as we conclude today. Gretchen, you got a song? Repeat after me, please. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job.